Bear. How you doing, man?
Really good. Really good, Jason.
Nice. Nice. Well, hey, first of all, I appreciate you setting that up with the Oilers alumni. Now, let's start right there with the alumni. Then we're going to get into some other funny stories with you. But the Oilers alumni is something that you've looked at wanting to, I think, have a bigger presence. Is that safe to say? Kind of what's the goal moving forward with the Oilers alumni?
Well, the goal that we have is very similar to the goal that OEG has, and we're just trying to create I remember moments for everybody in Edmonton, and understanding that the alumni and the group of guys that we're hanging out with are a prominent part of the community here in Edmonton. They make their homes here in Edmonton. They contribute to charities, and they play games, and they're like all of us as fans. We just want to help contribute to the success of the organization at such an exciting time.
Jared opens up the bidding, $500 for the skate. And it's for two people, by the way. It's not one. It's you and a buddy. We'll be hanging out with the alumni. And it's a fun skate. And then afterwards in the room, and Staffy and all the boys tell you a few stories that usually you won't tell on air. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories out there. A lot of good stories, though. A lot of good stuff.
Now, one of my favorite stories when you got started, because, you know, there's a lot of listeners out there that are diehard hockey fans. And, you know, most people understand at a certain age or a certain level, they're like, you know what? Playing in the NHL just isn't in the cards for me. I don't have the athleticism. Now, that, you know, you can get in management. You can get in scouting. You can also get into being an equipment trader. Obviously, you got to go to school if you want to be an athletic therapist or anything like that. But, you know, being an equipment guy, Barry, and nowadays, obviously, the players are probably, I don't know if they're more finicky about their gear than ever before. You were in that room for 28 years. You saw a lot of players. With the changes in equipment, how has that changed the role of the head equipment guy?
Well, I think the position has evolved like any position in professional sports or in business. I mean, the technology has improved. The expectations of all of the coaching staff and the players have changed. It's just a better all-around game. And the demands of the sport on the players and their health and their training have changed. So in most cases, in the NHL, of course, the number of staff have changed. I mean, the credibility and the professionalism of the staff has changed, both in the medical and the equipment side of things. And so it's like every other sport, every other professional sport. It's all about the athletes. It's all about the players. And it's our job to do whatever we can to contribute to the success of the players and help them to perform at their best.
You told a great story the other day to me and Strudwick when we were chatting with you on our Real Life podcast about your Oilers career almost ended before it began back with John Muckler in, was it Tulsa?
Wichita Wind.
Wichita.
Wichita Wind, yep.
I want to recap that story because I think safe to say when you were 25 at that time, just starting out, filled with testosterone, would that be a good description of your personality?
Yeah, you know, Jason, I first of all, before we get into that, I have to explain to the listeners that I feel very fortunate to be able to sit in a table across the table from you, watching you do this broadcast, because it's a piece of work. I think it should be almost like a reality TV show. If people could, I'd like to watch you watch a hockey game, because you are definitely passionate about this. So it's before I get into the other side of it, I just wanted to make that comment. It's been a lot of fun to kind of help you out and be part of this. But you know what, it's a different lifetime ago for me, and I was like every other young guy in Canada trying to, you know, I wanted to be an NHL player, but I went the training route and everything worked out fine. And my junior career was a bit scattered, can I say. I was kind of all over the map, and part of the reason was I had a bit of a temper, and I was a very aggressive person, and I take a lot of pride in over the years kind of toning that down. But to your point, very early when I got thrown into Wichita, Kansas, in the middle of nowhere, I didn't really have a clue what I was doing. I got thrown in the fire by Glenn Sather and learned by doing. Just coming out of the University of Alberta. And I was challenged a few times, and I did get myself in trouble, like everybody does. But I did think I was going to get fired one of the first year. That I got in a bit of a fight on a bench clearing brawl with one of the opponent players that are on the ice, which is completely unacceptable.
But didn't now to give the story a little background, it was a blind brawl, a bench brawl, which happened a lot more frequently then than it does now. That's safe to say. And one of your guys was really taking it on the chin, was he not?
Yes, he was. And, you know, we're all team players. We're all there to help our – to have the backs of our teammates, especially back in those days. There was one trainer, did both the medical and equipment job. And it was Peter Driscoll, actually, was our captain. And, you know, he was getting beat up right in front of my very eyes. So, I mean, I did what any other guy would have done, I believe, at the time. And I just kind of stepped in and try to help him out. But the referee didn't really agree with that, and he kicked me out of the game.
So John Muckler was your head coach at the time. What did Muck say to you after the game?
He was really mad. He was pissed off. He gave it to me, you know. He says, how do you expect to, you know, work in the NHL if you can't even stay on the bench in a game in the minors, you know? So, you know what, he was a great influence on my career. I was very lucky to have him as a head coach. He's a very experienced guy and obviously great at what he did. And he was a good mentor for me. And, you know, he helped me along. So I kind of learned my lesson there.
Barry Stafford joins us 28 years as the equipment guy and trainer for the Edmonton Oilers. Now you've moved into a different role and you're overseeing the Oilers alumni. And obviously wanted to make them more a part of the community. And there's a lot of guys. What I found interesting when I was going through the list of the guys who are going to be out skating in regularly, you know, guys like Ryan Smith and DeBrusk and Strudwick and, you know, Rob Brown, even though he didn't play for the Oilers, he's from around here, you know, he'll be in there, Sean Brown. Lots of Dave Lumley, like funny character type of guys, really good storytellers. So what is kind of your vision moving forward? Do you see the Oilers alumni, you know, being involved in a lot of different other, you know, business things, charitable things? Is that kind of the plan moving forward to grow this?
Well, yeah, for sure, Jason. I mean, these guys have been in this business as an alumni group for 30 some years, and you know, their hearts are all in the right places, and their mandate from 25 years ago was simply, you know, how can we help? And so that hasn't changed too much at all. You know, our guys are involved in the community. They are involved in fundraisers, and they're involved in hockey schools, and you know, they're speaking, you know, to young groups, young kids, you know, we're getting requests every day to help on the corporate side with different events through the OEG group. Of course, you know, Natalie Minkler through our Edmonton Oilers Community Foundation is going to be the main wing of OEG as far as charitable work. But our guys are there to help in any way they can with all the different departments within the Oilers and in the community.
So if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way if they're looking, you know, to have some event, including the alumni? How do they go about it?
Well, you know what? Right now we're an organization, a company in transition. There's an awful lot happening behind the scenes in the organization. And the Oilers Alumni Association is just in the process of, I guess, launching or kind of, I could say, rebooting, I would say, that just reorganizing the hierarchy and how things are done properly. And we're very fortunate to be put in a position to partner with Bob Nicholson and Kevin Lowe through the Oilers organization. And, you know, we're just putting together a bit of a framework right now that will kind of define the goals and the roles of the organization and how we can help. And I think just in a nutshell, people can contact me directly at bstaff@edmontonoilers.com. For a lot of years, we had various members of our organization. And before I go any further, too, I just wanted to shout out to Kevin Radomski and all the crew over at Oilers or at the Edmonton Oil Kings for such a fantastic job. Randy Hanch and all those his crew there for what the second sellout this season, and you know, very exciting time in Rogers Place with the teddy bear toss. But you know, so Kevin Radomski was a big part of that for years, assisting. And I'm going to be the point man for now. I mean, it's a group effort, a team effort. We have an executive on board, but I'll be the point person to kind of direct traffic until we get well on our way.
So for the guys that are bidding, and right now, Deed and Jarrett were at 600, then Wasey went to 650, Blaine came in at 800, Sheldon was in a white garbage truck at 1,000, and now Dave's in at $1,200. It's two, you and a buddy, so two people will be skating with the Oilers alumni in either January, February, or March, the date that works for your schedule. You play the game with them, you hang out, there's, you know, 25, 30 guys, and you're in the dress room afterwards. Now, you're not going to be in there going old school training. You're not going to be tying their skates or anything for them, are you, Barry?
No, basically what I do is herd cats. No, I'm just helping out from behind the scenes, just directing traffic. You know, it's a great group of guys. They're, you know, this is a big part of what they miss the most about hockey is playing hockey together as a group. And, you know, they love the camaraderie. They enjoy spending time with each other. You know, they enjoy spending time with guys like you and other, you know, people in the community. And it's just it's a way of life for these guys. They've been doing it their whole life since they were little kids. And, you know, it's a transition. You know, once they leave as a professional hockey player, it's a transition that these guys need to adjust to. And that's part of the role that we plan on expanding a little bit in the mentorship side of things. And, you know, maybe even to the point of helping out and mentoring some of the young guys on the current team. So
I think that's huge. You look at other communities, I think it's a massive factor of just having players have an outlet of different guys to talk to, because sometimes maybe you don't want to talk to the coach or anybody like that. So, no, I totally think that's important. Now, before I let you go today, of all those guys that are coming back, which one do you think you would have to give the most decisive directions to ensure they don't get lost when they come? Like, is Strudge directionally challenged? You know, Smitty, Lummer, like, which one of those guys did you maybe have to spend a little bit more time ensuring they got to places?
Well, let me just tell you this. I've got an email that's going out a little bit later today that is very, very specific. And it's a group email that I can't just point one or two guys out, because, you know, in all fairness to the guys, I mean, we have a fabulous new Rogers Place Arena. The thing is spectacular. And a lot of them haven't been, you know, in the building working like you or some of the other fellows. So, you know, in all respect to this group, we're trying to find our way. Literally, we got to park. We got to get in the dressing room. We got to, you know, or find our way to the ice. The easy part for these guys is putting their equipment on and getting on the ice. So it's going to be a job to get them all to the arena. And once we get there and we get them in the dressing room, it's easy after that.
Well, Barry, we appreciate it. Thanks for all you do with the alumni. Chris Joseph's joining us later. Brian Benning, of course, watching the games with a little closer attention with his young son, Matt. Five father-son combos now have laced him up, both as an Oiler player, which is pretty unique in one organization. That's pretty cool. Barry, always good to talk to you. We'll talk to you again, and best of luck launching the alumni in the new year.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your support, Jason.